Ladies and gentlemen, my name is
Scott.
Hey, yo.
Is that his younger brother? It's gotta be
Jeff.
The cream will rise to the top, oh yeah.
And you're listening to
all of the great action figures from our good friends at Hasbro.
The Fully Posable.
Have your own WrestleMania with all your favorite figures.
Wrestling figure.
He's sold separately from LJN.
Podcast.
And we are the Mount Rushmore of professional wrestling.
Hey, welcome to episode 195 of the Fully Posable Wrestling Figure Podcast, longest running episodic wrestling figure podcast going today. Sitting alongside next to me is my real life brother, not storyline brother, Scott. Scott, say hello.
Hello.
Scott, we have got an action-packed show, dude.
Action-packed.
It's like an action-packed movie, dude.
There's going to be car chases, explosions.
Yep.
But we got to keep it PG, so there won't be any like full frontal. It'll just be like, you know, bikini shots and stuff. You in a bikini, for example. But there won't be full frontal because nobody wants to see that.
Nobody wants to see that, dude.
But you can count on the shootouts, the car chases, and the explosions.
And a bunch of CGI.
See what happens when we drink Bang?
What Bang flavor did you have? Oh, by the way, some people are unhappy that we talk energy drinks on this podcast. So what energy drink did you have, Scott?
Oh, yeah. Let's cater to those folks. Starblast this week, Jeff.
Oh, you went Starblast.
I did. I am fueled by Starblast tonight. Really? People are upset that we talk energy drinks?
We had a couple of people who are like, okay, enough about the energy drinks. So let's talk energy drinks, Scott.
Yeah, but why though? Why can't we? Look, if you're interested in getting into podcasting at all, if you work during the day and then you podcast at night, as you and I have done, Jeff, for almost 200 episodes now, while you're at work, you better fuel up on something because you're already in for a long day on the job. Then you come home, if you've got the family unit going on, you got dinner, you got homework, you got blah, 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 blah. Then you get down with the podcast, right? So usually me towards the end of the day, I'm very tired. But if I get an energy drink after lunch, I'm good to go for the podcast. So that's kind of why we talk about it. You know, if you're into podcasting at all, you're going to need something. For some people, it's coffee. For me in the morning, it totally is coffee. But as you get later in the day, you need an energy drink or something. Whereas you use your smart cups, I prefer Bang.
Right. So why not talk about it? It's a very popular thing too. It's not like we're talking about something obscure that nobody else can relate to. Everybody drinks energy drinks nowadays. So why not talk about it?
Well, exactly. I'm sorry if you take offense to it, but it's probably not going to stop.
You're sorry? I'm not.
You playing full heel. Like I'm trying to be the tweener, the guy on the fence, like, maybe I'm a good guy, but you're like full heel.
You're like MJF, like you're just could go heel that moment, you could go heel, you could be face, you don't know. But I'm over here like totally Chris Jericho. I'm like, screw him.
We're gonna talk smart cups this week.
It's like the Young Bucks, dude. They're like, we got chastised for throwing too many super kicks, so we're going to throw 50 more super kicks. I'm like, that's beautiful. That is poetry.
And put a counter on it as well, so you can keep track of how many super kicks we threw into the face.
If anybody wants any of our past t-shirts, they can head on over to Pro Wrestling Tees or whatamaneuver.net. You guys can follow us Twitter, YouTube, Snapchat, and the Book of Faces at Fully Posable, Instagram Fully Posable, WF. You can go back and listen to any of our past podcasts, any of them at all on fullyposablepodcast.com. Download that Podbean app if you are on the go. Stitcher, iTunes, iHeartRadio, and Spotify. Please write and review on iTunes. Scott, like this week, it comes in from, Big Woody Style. Big Woody, dude.
Gotcha. One of our figure photographers. One of the ones we plug quite often on here and very talented, I might add.
I mentioned it a couple weeks ago that he is the one that uses James Ellsworth as a job guy.
And very appropriately so.
If I'm not mistaken, just a couple days ago, he did a photo shoot and he did kind of a scene by scene. And it was Arn Anderson versus James Ellsworth. And Arn beat the crap out of him.
Took a few spine busters there, did he?
Did. He did. Big Woody says the best in the biz, gave a sweet 5 stars. He says the OGs of the Fig Life, keeping it real as we close in on episode 200, the big 200. Scott, we're going to be 200 years old.
What? That's not exactly correct, but we can go with that. That's fine. There's your second big explosion of the show. First was energy drinks, bang! And then now you have your announcement that we're 200 years old. There's another explosion.
Wait, that's not how it works?
No, absolutely not. But go ahead, Jeff. You stay in your happy little world that you're in there, and we're 200.
My director says the same thing. He just says, make sure you get the job done.
That's it. Just get to the finish line.
Thank you, Big Woody, for leaving that review. You can send us any audio questions, or anything else at all to fullyposablewfp@gmail.com. We are not going to hit the listener questions this week. They will be moved on to next week. But we do have an announcement, Scott. We are announcing the Million Dollar Man Cash Mob. Scott, are you ready for the Million Dollar Man Cash Mob?
Is this where the listeners just start randomly sending us money? And then we get to retire at, like, I don't know, 201?
Well, hopefully. I wish that would be like that. But no, that is not what the Million Dollar Man Cash Mob is. Scott and I have come up with the Million Dollar Man Cash Mob. And what that is once every quarter, spring, winter, fall, summer. I've almost forgot the last one. We want you guys to go out and support something that we recommend. So we're in the fall season right now. What we would love for you guys to do is go out to your local vintage toy shop and support them. Whether you guys drop 10 bucks or 100 bucks, whatever it is, just go to your local vintage toy shop. And it doesn't even have to be wrestling figures that you guys pick up. Would we like to see wrestling figures? Yeah, sure, absolutely. But it doesn't have to be wrestling figures. We want you guys to go and support these local vintage toy shops. What we want you guys to do is tag us on Instagram or Twitter at Fully Posable or Fully Posable WFP. And we want you guys to tag us and tag the toy shop if they happen to have a Twitter, if they happen to have an Instagram, or if they have a website. We want to kind of support these local vintage toy shops. So like for me, Toy Safari is my local vintage toy shop. I plan on heading down there. Hopefully this weekend, I have a big thing going on. Well, when the show drops the previous day, I have a big thing going on. But I'm going to try to head down there Sunday or Monday and go and drop some coin their way and support them. So that's what we are doing for the fall season. It is vintage toy shops. We will announce the winter one sometime in January, February. But for the fall season, we want you guys to go support your vintage toy shops for the Million Dollar Man Cash Mob.
So we're not retiring at 201?
No. Your hopes and dreams, your thoughts and prayers are not happening at 201, Scott.
Well, I guess the podcast continues.
So be it.
Make it so.
What do you think of that, Scott?
I think it's a great idea. I think it's great for the listeners to get out, support your local businesses. It's not your big box retail like Walmart or Target. You're going to go out and support your local mom and pop shop that are giving you great old vintage toys. So I love the idea, Jeff. I love your idea of driving business their way. Let's flood them with some cash. Hit us up on Instagram. Hit us up on Twitter. Let us know where you went. Give us their Twitter or their Instagram or their website just to kind of create a big network of different toy shops that we can all go and visit. I love the idea.
And on Twitter or Instagram, use the hashtag MDMCM so that way you don't have to type out Million Dollar Man Cash Mob.
Rolls right off the tongue.
I know. We'll have to. You guys can use the acronym and stuff. So please tag us. Let us know what you guys find. And as I said, it could be any toy. We don't care. It could be old G.I. Joes, old wrestling figures, old He-Man, old Thundercats, old Mask. We don't care. We don't give a rat's ass. We just want you guys to support these local vintage toy shops. With all that said, Scott, StocktonCon/WinterCon.
Yes, just this week, Jeff, they announced Stockton WinterCon, the first guest. And that first guest is Kelly Kelly. So Kelly Kelly will be there in January. She's the first announced guest. So that's already strong. So I know that you have her elite figure. So I know you're going to go and get it signed. But if you are in the Central Valley area and you have a Kelly Kelly figure, this is your spot. Or if you want to just meet her or get a picture or an autograph from her, she will be there. I don't know what she's charging yet. When I see more updates on it, I will update you guys. But again, if you're in the Central Valley, Stockton WinterCon, Kelly Kelly will be there on Sunday, January 19th, which is the only day of the event. They're not going to go multiple days. It's just Sunday, the 19th of January. Again, if you're in the Central Valley, go check it out.
Scott, we are going to push Toy Spotting off to its own special segment. So, we are about to hit up the news. What you say?
Let's talk about it.
You didn't know?
Scott, last weekend was New York Comic Con. With news and notes regarding that one, WWE did put out some stuff. Elite 73, Daniel Bryan, he'll have a black outfit with the hemp belt. The hemp belt is making its first appearance in the WWE line. Daniel Bryan had a new kind of face sculpt that was actually pretty good too. I wanted to mention that. Grand Metalik, he will have a blue outfit, which will be the regular outfit. The black outfit that he will be coming in will be the variant. He does come with a brown trench coat. What'd you think of that one, Scott?
I like them both so far. I was actually going to wait until you were done and then interject an opinion, but I love that they made him the variant because they can do some different colorways there. I love the Daniel Bryan. You're right about the face sculpt 100%, and I love the fact that the hemp belt, even though it's already done and gone, as of WrestleMania this year, it was done. But I love that they're making an introduction of that into their figure line as an accessory. Great choice by Mattel to still include it, even though it's done. And I love the Grand Metalik. So far, so good on this series, or on these two guys announced.
Triple H, he'll have a mask and a hooded cutoff sleeve jacket. Elias, no rendering, I believe, on that one. Aleister Black and Kairi Sane. We have seen the rendering on Kairi Sane. We saw that back at San Diego Comic-Con. Elite 74, Goldberg, he will have black and white trunks with the big gold belt. AJ Styles, Natalya, Andrade, Finn Balor, and Lince Dorado.
Oh, you're getting better with your Spanish.
Dude, my French is impeccable.
Your German is on point, dude.
Thank you. Thank you. I have been practicing my Yemen.
Excellent.
Elite 76, Heavy Machinery. They did show off the renderings for Heavy Machinery. Looked spot on in the renderings. Cut off jean jackets. Elite 78, R-Truth with black pants with the 24/7 title. 24/7 title making its first appearance in the Elite line.
Yeah, I love that they're bringing two belts in for their first introductions. You got the hemp belt with Daniel Bryan, and you've got the 24/7 with R-Truth. I love it.
Heavy Machinery, what'd you think?
Well, again, you always want to temper expectations with Mattel's renderings because we've been burned in the past. We actually discussed that last week or the week before, too. But from what I've seen on the renderings, they look amazing. But renderings normally look amazing. You have to wait until the finished product to see what the end result is. But I do love the jacket accessories they come with. The outfits are perfect. From what you can tell in the renderings, the faces are perfect, but we will see once the finished product comes out.
Gorilla Monsoon in package was also shown off. I think you said it best when I showed it to you on Saturday, Scott, when it came across on Twitter. You said they absolutely captured it. You want to go further in depth on that one?
Well, yeah, and we had talked about this when we saw it, or I should say when you saw it at Access this year. Just the job that Mattel did with it. I understand the nitpick of about it should have a bigger body on it because Gorilla was a bigger guy. But so far, what I've seen, the finished product and then the mint on card product, absolutely love it. They captured his face so, so well. And I cannot wait to score that figure. That's going to be one that when I see it on the peg, you get that thrill of the hunt, that joy that erupts in you, and that's definitely going to happen when I see that gorilla figure. Mattel just absolutely nailed it.
So here's a question for you. Do you think it will be a peg warmer?
No, I really don't think so. With all of the excitement that surrounded that figure, not only at Access, but again when they showed it this time, the finished product mint on card, I don't think it's going to be a peg warmer at all. I could be wrong. I hope I'm not. But man, I cannot wait to get my hands on that figure. It's going to look so good next to my Heenan hanging up on the wall. To have Gorilla and Bobby up on the wall again, I'm going to have to just throw my Mean Gene up next to him and just have the trifecta there. But I'm so happy Gorilla's getting a release.
Rewind back to April when I was at Access. I was taking pictures and I sent the picture of Gorilla off to Twitterverse. And that was the one that everybody went bonkers over. And Celeste and I kind of walked throughout Access, and then we were in the Superstore. We were getting blown up regarding that Gorilla figure. That was the one that was the hotbed that everybody was like, holy crap, Gorilla Monsoon. It was like Gorilla, Gorilla, Gorilla. It was just constant tweets regarding Gorilla. I even went back and told Bill, I said, man, I'm getting blown up regarding this Gorilla figure, man. And he goes, great, I love hearing that. And I said, yeah, I think you guys hit a home run on this one.
They really did. And in addition, you get the two jackets, much like they did with the Mean Gene Elite Flashback. It's such a great idea to get them in two looks, especially if you're going to open them. But even mint on card, it looks fantastic. I absolutely love that figure. When I have it in hand, I'll make a determination if it falls into my top 10 for this year. But from the pictures I've seen, it's a home run.
All right, Scott, you ready for this WrestleMania Elite line?
Okay. Okay. Let's preface this conversation with the fact that you and I had a conversation earlier this week where we had, let's say, a difference of opinion on the figures. Now that I've looked at them again, Jeff, I'm falling more on your side of the fence on the opinion. But go ahead. Let's talk about the WrestleManias.
WrestleMania Elites, you know, the figures that always come out around February, March, kind of pumping everybody up for WrestleMania. I will say this before I jump into the names. The card on it is, I think, is pretty good. It's got like a sunshine to it. It's almost like a sunshine hue, I guess you can kind of say. I actually dig the card.
Yeah, it puts you in good spirits until you see the figure inside.
Now, mind you, each figure in this line does come with a body part to build a Danny Davis figure. So Kofi, with the WWE Heavyweight title, comes with Danny Davis's hands. Matt Hardy, he comes with a white coat. On the back, it says House of Hardy, and comes with Danny Davis's head. Booker T comes with Danny's arms and lower half of his body. Cactus Jack, red flannel, comes with Danny's upper torso, I should say. Now I'm going to go back, Scott. Which is the worst figure in this line?
I would say that the worst is the Cactus Jack.
The answer is they are all terrible, Scott. They are all bad. You could have said any single one and gotten the question correct.
And may God have mercy on your soul.
Dude, this is horrible. Like, each figure is awful looking. Remember last week you were joking with me when I kept saying Ultimate Warrior had that dumbed down look?
Yes.
This Kofi figure has a dumbed down look. Dude, the face scan on the figure is horrible. Dude, it's like they took 9 steps backwards.
Yeah, so it's kind of a challenge of hair, it seems, as well. But the Cactus Jack, the hair is definitely off. The Kofi face sculpt is not good, especially when you look at it from the side. You sent me that picture of the side of the face. I'm never going to unsee that when I look at the Kofi Kingston figure. Moving on, the Matt Hardy, I guess he's the lesser of the evils in the set. The Matt Hardy isn't horrible. I do like it. It's okay. I definitely don't despise this line as much as you do, Jeff, but it really goes without saying this isn't their strongest offering in terms of elites. But the best figure in the set, fortunately or unfortunately, depending on how you look at it, the best figure by far and away is Danny Davis, the Build-A-Figure. You put all 5 of these side by side and the Danny Davis is just head and shoulders above the rest of them. Just not a strong offering from Mattel. And what you said about Kofi about taking some steps back in terms of the sculpt, I think overall in this set are a few steps back. It's just a miss. It's not a strong offering from Mattel, especially when it comes to being an elite figure.
The Matt Hardy is terrible as well.
Wow.
Dude, I have nothing but bad things to say about this. The Cactus Jack, the face on that is hideous. The Booker T is...
It's okay.
Literally, Booker T is by default the best figure in this set.
I don't mind the Hardy. I don't mind the Booker T. The Kofi's not good. The Cactus Jack definitely is not good. I'm not a fan of that one. It's really the hair, I think, on the Cactus that throws me. But, man, it makes you wonder, like... We'll get into other companies that are making wrestling figures that are going to be released in 2020, but Mattel can't have these missteps with these new players that are stepping into the game, like Super 7. Figures Toy Company is still going strong. You've got Master Republic / Boss Fight jumping into the game. You can't have these missteps when there's going to be other competitors in there, and let's not forget Storm Collectibles as well. You've got these other companies stepping up, hitting home runs, and you're hitting singles with these figures like Kofi that's not great. the Cactus Jack that's definitely not great, and a Matt Hardy and Booker T that's just okay, but they're all at an elite price point. So really, the strength of this line, 100%, is the Danny Davis Build-A-Figure.
So you're basically paying $80 for Danny Davis?
Really, that's it. That's it. Or you bank on the fact that you're going to get these on clearance somewhere. Maybe there will be like a big post-holiday sale or something where these things get marked half off and then you can score a Danny Davis for like $40. But it's either that or wait until somebody builds the Danny Davis and sells it off for like $60.
That's probably your best bet right there.
Yeah, either wait for a sale or wait for somebody to sell off the Danny Davis by himself. But yeah, it's not a strong offering at all. It's really not. In terms of overall, there's two okay figures and two really not well done figures. And that's a shame because I was really, really looking forward to the WrestleMania Kofi. But just a huge swing and a miss on that one.
On just that one?
What? On that one specifically because I was really looking forward to that one. And it's unfortunate that they missed on the Cactus Jack. It's like you can kind of see what they were going for, but it was a miss. I'm not going to beat it with a stick and set it on fire like you did, but...
I did not.
Well, you kind of did.
You kind of did. Don't slander me.
You did everything but drop a 2 on it, dude. Like, I don't feel that strongly about it, but it's definitely a miss. And with these other players stepping into the game, Mattel's got to be better.
Okay, so this is just a WrestleMania set, so I guess I maybe shouldn't be taking it to task that bad. It's just a WrestleMania set. But the thing is I really wanted Danny Davis. But the flip side of that is now I have to purchase 4 awful figures to complete the Danny Davis. And like you said, I may have to go onto eBay, see if I can get score Danny Davis for at least 60.
Well, the crappy part is last year's WrestleMania set, or maybe this year's WrestleMania set, was great. It had that killer Undertaker figure. It had a really good Triple H. It had a decent Sasha and a great Scott Hall. That was a strong WrestleMania Elite set. And then they come out with this one, and then you have the addition of the Build-A-Figure, which, by all accounts, on paper, this should be a no-brainer to trump last year's set. The only thing that trumps last year's set is the fact that you can now build a Danny Davis. The figures themselves, not outstanding at all.
Before we jump into the rest of the news, I want to announce this Wednesday, we have Kevin, who actually sat in for a live interview. He actually lives in a city called Castro Valley, right down the road from us, about 15 minutes away. He actually came over and we actually podcasted with him last night, which would have been Wednesday night. It was a fun interview. That interview will be dropping this Wednesday. Wednesday.
Wednesday, Jeff?
Yes. Yeah, it'll drop Wednesday.
One more time. What day?
Yes, Wednesday.
Okay.
It's a fun interview with Kevin. Very insightful, very awesome, and I look forward to you guys hearing that. And it was fun interviewing with them last night.
It's our first live interview. Everyone we've done before has been over Skype or cell phone, something of that nature to record off of. This is the first one we've actually done like a face-to-face, and it was a lot of fun. Kevin couldn't have been nicer or more informative. We got a few surprises off of him that I can't wait for you guys to hear. We had burritos with him. We talked wrestling. We talked figures. Jeff learned some pronunciations that are going to improve his announcement of names in the future. Tinieblas, Jeff?
Tinieblas. Is that what it was?
you're getting much, much better already. See? The interview helped you as well.
Thank you. Thank you. Yes, that episode will be dropping as a special episode on Wednesday. I did want to put that in there. Scott, FTC news, what you got?
Yes, Jeff, FTC this week showed off the head sculpts, finished, painted head sculpts for Joey Janela, Francine, and Shane Strickland, who is now in NXT, but is already in, or going to be in, the Figures Toy Company line. So we got to see the finished head sculpts. That Joey Janela looks so good. So, so good. The Francine looks good. The Strickland look good. But man, that Joey Janela is something else.
You know what's funny is I was looking at the pictures and I texted Chris and I said, by chance, are you using a new paint application? Because the paint on it, on the head sculpts, looked much different from the head sculpts that he's released in the past. And he said, no, they're using the same one. He said, nothing's changed. We're still status quo over here. I was like, man, something looks different, but it looks, the Joey Janela looks awesome. Same thing with Francine and Shane Strickland, no doubt about it. But the Janela with the smirk, the glasses, the hair, it's just the head sculpt is just amazing. Can't wait for that figure to come out. Chris threw that teaser out there on Tuesday, and boy, did they get flooded with a lot of love. They were hitting big time, and especially with Janela being on AEW right now, they're striking while the iron is hot.
Oh, for sure. Now, here's another challenge for the listeners. For those of you that collect the FTC figures, we had talked about if FTC ever does a Jim Cornette and Vince Russo two-pack, the challenge to see who can be the most insulting with an autograph on the two-pack. You could do the same thing if they ever did a Joey Janela, whom Jim Cornette calls Jelly Janela, and a Jim Cornette two-pack to see who can be more offensive to the other with an autograph. Because those two guys don't like each other either. So that would be good. I'd be interested to see what Cornette would write on Joey's.
Boy, Cornette is not making friends with any of the new school kids.
No. The new generation does not get along with Corny at all.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like they're too happy with him. Last bit of news. Super 7 announced that Okada and Ishii are going to be in Wave 1. I thought that was common knowledge. I thought a lot of us already knew that were, you know, paying attention to the New Japan line, but Super 7 reaffirmed that. So Okada and Ishii will be in Wave 1. Those figures will be coming out next year in 2020. Strong offering for Wave 1, dude.
Oh, no doubt about it. I'm really, really excited, obviously, for the Okada figure. I can't wait to, because we've always talked about, you know, say, for example, FTC happened to get the NJPW license. We'd be really excited to see what they would do with an Okada figure. Okada's always been the one kind of at the top of our list to be like, okay, I can't wait to see what they do with his jacket, with his pants, or with his trunks. Either way they go, there could be variants. It was always speculation, but a lot of it centered around Okada. So now Super 7's going to get that treatment. And I'm really excited to see what they bring to the table. And we actually got to talk to Super 7 very briefly at the toy show that we went to, Jeff, this past weekend. But we'll save that conversation. There might have been a few questions thrown their way about NJPW. But we did have to round out Mattel. They have the WrestleMania battle packs.
Thank you for reminding me, Scott. I forgot to put that on the notes and you reminded me. Yes, there are WrestleMania battle packs. We have Rey Mysterio and Randy Orton. Randy Orton has that 2006 look. That is from WrestleMania 22. They couldn't throw in Kurt Angle, so they just threw those two in from WrestleMania 22, Scott, in that triple threat match.
We were there.
Roman Reigns and Drew McIntyre from this past year's WrestleMania. And it's kind of cool. Each one of these battle packs has a chair with the logo that they were from. So Roman and Drew have a chair from WrestleMania 35. Ray and Randy have the chair from WrestleMania 22. And this last battle pack is Team Hell No with the chair from WrestleMania 29. Also there, Scott.
Yeah, we were there for that one too. I don't want to nitpick on a battle pack too much, but I referenced earlier another hairstyle that we were going to maybe knock a little bit. That hair on Drew is horrific. It's bad. Really bad.
It's as bad as Brett's Ultimate Edition figure.
No, this one's worse, dude. I mean, again, you can see what they're going for, but the execution is not there. It's not there at all. There is something wrong with the hair applications. I'm almost thinking it's easier if they just stick the slicked back look. Like for Drew and for Brett, just stick with that because it is not translating well. Whatever they're thinking and sculpting it to the finished product, it's not translating. That Drew looks horrible.
I agree with you. This isn't good, dude.
No, it's not. Again, not to nitpick a basic because we don't really cover those too often. But man, that's just a bad looking Drew figure.
It's like somebody took a black mop and just put it on top of his head, dude.
Yeah, hey, we found Moppy.
Yeah, it's not good. But I mean, like you said, it's a battle pack. Don't want to nitpick a battle pack.
Exactly.
But, oof, that's rough.
That's rough sledding.
Scott, as I mentioned, we do have toy spotting saved for the end of the show, and I think it's time that you and I jump into that. I came to play. There's a price to pay. Time for you to get down on your knees. Scott, this past week was the San Jose Toy Show that we frequent, what, about 3-4 times a year?
Yeah, it's like 4 times a year, and this was the 3rd show. The next one will be December 7th, so that'll be the 4th one this year. So it's pretty much every 3 months.
So we get to the toy show. We walk in with our friends Brian and my supervisor/special guest Sean. We get into this place. we go right to the left. We kind of have that same routine, dude, where we walk in and we hook right to the left. We're right by the door, so we go straight to the left. And lo and behold, our pristine LJNs, and I'm ready to blow all my wad right there.
Yes, in addition to spending some money.
Right, right. These LJNs were pristine. They were in great, great condition. Very, very minimal paint wear, so it was tough to walk away with these. They had Big John Studd. They had Hillbilly Jim with the hat. They had Hillbilly Jim without the hat. They had Nikolai Volkoff with the hat. Iron Sheik. Junkyard Dog had the silver chain.
Corporal Kirshner.
Oh, and thank you. They had Corporal Kirshner. They also had some Hasbro sitting in front. They actually had Macho King. But we all know about the different writing on the trunks on the backside for the Macho King figure. There's that one that says Macho Man on the purple trunks. I was tempted to pick that one up, but there was a lot of paint wear on that one.
It was very, very well loved.
Yeah, Scott and I don't say damaged on the show unless we're referring to that WrestleMania Elite set or the Drew McIntyre headset or head sculpt.
Well done.
Thank you. We used the term they were well played with.
Yeah.
Because we go back to our childhood and our LJNs were not in good shape. Well, at least the earlier sets were not.
Right.
The later ones remained in good shape. But anyways, these ones were not well played with. These ones were pristine. But that was our first boost, so I had to walk away weeping and had the rest of the place to go through. So, Scott, we get through that place, and then we have another booth right next to us.
Well, what I liked about that first booth is when you and I were in there, there was a father and son looking at the LJNs at the same time that we were, and the kid kind of, we kind of moved out of his way, and he reached over, and he went right for the British Bulldogs. One of them, I think it was Dynamite, had the tag team title on his over his shoulder, and so the kid kind of showed him to his dad, and I guess he still needed the Bulldogs for his set. Now, this kid couldn't have been more than like 8 or 9 years old. And he was so happy to get the Bulldogs. And his dad was like, yeah, he doesn't have the Bulldogs yet. And he purchased the British Bulldogs. And I was so happy to see this kid get his Bulldogs because it reminded me, Jeff, of when you and I got ours. And I remember coming home from that basketball game and you had thrown the figures on the bed and you waited for me to get home to crack them open. And I remember that excitement when I saw him, like, oh, man, there they are. You could see this kid, the way he kind of reached across, much like I did with SD Jones, plucking him from the clutches of some random teenager that wouldn't appreciate him anyway. But the kid reached in front of us and I was all too happy to step out of his way and let him get his Bulldogs figures.
And the cool thing was, is his dad is actually a local professional wrestler.
Yes, that's right.
Nick Ruiz was there with his kids and they were looking over the LJNs and they were kind of going, oh, okay, you've got that one, you've got that one. They were kind of scouring. It was kind of cool seeing him go for the LJNs and the Hasbros. I thought that was awesome that his sons knew about the LJNs and the Hasbros and not going for, you know, Jacks or Elites.
Yeah, definitely you get to see the next generation of collectors out there, and when they already know their history, like the dude or the kid looking for the British Bulldogs right off the bat. I absolutely love that. They're well-schooled in the history of the figures. Like you said, Jeff, he almost prefers them because he went shopping for those specifically. That really just, it warms my heart. And it was a father-son at the show together. It doesn't get any better than that, honestly.
So we start wandering through, and this is what's kind of funny. Special guest Sean and Brian just take off. Because when Scott and I go to toy shows, we become, we take our sweet time.
Yeah, we're sloths.
Yeah, we all have those friends that are slow eaters. Our dad is a very, very slow eater.
Yeah.
So you guys know, and unless you are the slow eater, the people that take their time to eat, they kind of meander and they kind of take a bite and they kind of savor the food. Scott and I are that same way at these toy shows. Brian and special guest Sean wanted to just bolt, and so they did. They took off. Scott and I are kind of meandering around, and then we hit the Super 7 table.
Yeah, so instead of going all the way around to the left, this time we kind of switched it up and went the other direction. So we checked out the tables on the left right away, and then we went the other direction because we saw Super 7. So we went up to the Super 7 booth, immediately just fell in love with every single thing on the table. They had the Rocky Super 7 figures. They had the Pee-wee's Playhouse figures. They had the Major League Baseball, He-Man. They had the heavy metal figures and just amazing, amazing product from Super 7. I rave and gush about Super 7 all the time, as does Jeff, but it's so well warranted. Their products are just fantastic. I love the line. So we made friends with a couple of the Super 7 guys that were there, and we got on the subject of the New Japan line. We all know they're coming in 2020. Jeff mentioned already the Okada and Ishii are the first two offerings, but Jeff and I wanted a little more information. Unfortunately, their hands were tied and their lips were sealed. They couldn't give anything away. So what Jeff and I took the stance on is, well, let's just start throwing them softballs and read facial expressions. So Jeff, I think you asked about title belts and wrestling rings that might be coming out and maybe some other names. And they played really, really coy. And he said he wasn't at liberty to talk about anything like that, or maybe any play sets that might be coming out, or he mentioned maybe any vehicles that might be coming out. He wasn't at liberty to say anything that's planned. It's all very hush-hush. The news is forthcoming. Again, these figures won't even be released until 2020 at some time. But he really played coy, especially with the question about the wrestling ring. And you could kind of see he wanted to say yes or no, but he kind of, just one of those I can't tip my hand too much. But needless to say, it left us wanting more. We can't wait for more information on the line. Having the first two names solidified, that's great. We know what to expect. But now the excitement builds for maybe play sets. JT, if you're listening, maybe wrestling rings specific to New Japan, title belts for the figures, different scales. Which I believe they are going to do the reaction size New Japan as well. So there's a lot to look forward to next year from Super 7.
Yeah, reactions are coming first, and then the quote-unquote elite-style figures will be following after that. So then we get done there, Scott, and then we walk over to a booth, and we meet Jordan, one of our local listeners, who is also Fig Frenzy on IG. And he came up and he introduced himself and he goes, "You guys from Fully Posable?" And I was like, "Yeah." And he goes, "Oh, I kind of noticed the shirt." I was like, "Yeah, we're marks for ourselves." That's like our tagline, dude, is we're marks for ourselves.
Pretty much. We're always repping.
And so he kind of laughed and we were talking and he goes, "There's a booth down there that has a hillbilly gym that's in pretty good shape. Still has like a kind of a gloss to it, kind of like a like the LJN gloss to it." I was like, "Oh." I said, "I'm going to have to make my way over there." And so we got to talking to him for a little bit, and Jordan was awesome. Thank you for coming up and introducing yourself, Jordan. As I say, I don't even know if we have local listeners, Scott. We need more local listeners.
Yeah, and if you see anybody wearing a Fully Posable shirt, chances are good it's either Jeff or myself. So come up and introduce yourself. We'd love to meet you.
Absolutely. So again, Jordan is at Fig Frenzy on Instagram. So Jordan and I and all of us talked for a little bit. One thing I did notice about this show, there were a lot of loose LJNs.
Yeah. Yeah. More than last time for sure.
It seemed like every booth you walked up to had maybe one or two loose LJNs. Some even had up to about 9 or 10. And then it was just kind of picking out which ones were pristine, which ones were, you know, well played with, whatever it may be. And so it seemed like a lot more booths had LJNs out and about. It's like almost like they knew we were coming, dude.
Yeah, they're prepping, but these things are getting super popular. You know, we've talked about that too. They're definitely having a resurgence. The nostalgia is playing a huge role in that, and these things are becoming more plentiful. People are now going into their storage lockers or their old closets or attics or their basements, and they're yanking these things out. And like you said, Jeff, we saw a ton of them at the toy show. Just because I think the demand is there and they're seeing that, because even people that didn't have wrestling figures at the last show, this time suddenly had wrestling figures. Some of them even had like carded Hasbros. So it was really surprising to see some of these guys that normally just have like a couple things, all of a sudden they're bringing wrestling figures with them. And a lot of them, like you said, were LJNs.
So one other thing I was looking for, well, we'll get into you looking for Remco's, Scott. But one other thing I was looking for is they just came out with this Haunted Mansion Disney Funko set, and the last one I needed was Madame Leota. And Madame Leota is, if you've been on the Haunted Mansion ride, she's the one with the head inside the glass ball. I have not been able to find that one anywhere at any Target, so I was on the hunt for that one. So we hit a ton of Funko booths, dude.
It was literally a ton.
Are you sick of Funkos right now?
Hella.
Well done. So we walk around and we found the gentleman that we talked about last time that's based in Sacramento. We saw his friend, who kind of manned his booth a little bit.
Yep.
And so you were hoping to find the Buddy Rose and the Doug Summers Remcos.
Yeah, Joe wasn't there this time. He was doing, because Hell in a Cell was in Sacramento, Joe stayed behind at their shop, which is in Sacramento, and he had actually brought more of his stuff to the shop in hopes of wrestling fans kind of gathering at the shop and buying up his stock. So he didn't make the trek out to San Jose with his stuff. Otherwise, I definitely would have walked away with the Summers and Rose. Unfortunately, as I said, he was not there this time, but his co-owner basically said Joe would be there on the next trip and that he would let him know that we were looking for him. We were looking for the Remcos. So December 7th, when the show comes back to San Jose, that's when I should be scoring the Summers and Rose Remcos loose.
So as we're walking around, I'm hitting every single Funko booth trying to find this Madame Leota Funko. All of a sudden, Jordan reappears and he comes up and he goes, "Hey, here's the Hillbilly Jim LJN. I was like, "Oh." He goes, "Yeah, it was only $10. This is for you guys." I was like, "Oh." And sure enough, it had like a sheen to it. It had like a nice gloss to it, or like not well played with, you know?
No, not at all. It was like Hillbilly took a shower.
Yeah, Hillbilly was drenched.
Yeah, exactly. He had the wet look.
Like Bret Hart's wet look.
Exactly.
But yeah, and Jordan's just like, "It's for you guys. If you guys want to do a giveaway, whatever you guys want to do with it." And I'm like, "Oh, crap, I don't want to do a giveaway because I love this. This is like an awesome LJN, you know?"
And it's one you needed to kind of replenish the, not pristine collection, but better than ours collection.
Correct. Correct. So Jordan, thank you. That was unexpected. I can't thank you enough for even doing that, man. And I will plug him one more time on IG at Fig Frenzy, one of our local listeners out here. So Jordan, thank you again for that, man.
Thank you, Jordan. The gift is very, very much appreciated.
So we start walking around and you found the G.I. Joe booth.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. And this was my fourth or fifth time being at this toy show. And the guy with the G.I. Joe and Transformer stuff is always in the back far right corner of the booth or of the venue. And I always make it a point to go see what he's got just to get the old nostalgia feelings and see all the old G.I. Joe vehicles and figures I used to have as a kid. As we've talked about, the best playset in the history of toys is the aircraft carrier. You can't argue with it. It's the best playset ever created. Well, for the first time ever...
Don't at Scott.
Don't at me, bro. For the first time ever, the guy who mans that booth had an aircraft carrier inside the booth. It was front and center right when you walked into the booth. The aircraft carrier was right there, fully assembled. He had a bunch of jets and helicopters and figures on it. Oh, man. You want to talk about revisiting the childhood that could have been? Like, that was me walking up and seeing the aircraft carrier. We hung out with some friends later that night. And Squat started to come out a little bit, and Squat could not stop talking about how cool it was to see an aircraft carrier out in the wild. I haven't seen one since probably 1987, and the last time would have been Big Dave's house when his dad finally took it apart and put it up in their attic or up in their storage space. That was the last time I had seen one out and about. So we're talking 30 years later, 30 plus years later, I finally saw one out in the wild again. And man, it hit me right in the nostalgia feels, dude. Just, it brought back so many great memories of playing with that thing over at Dave's house. And it, just beautiful. The words can't describe. It was just hulking, gigantic. And I know we're not a G.I. Joe podcast, but anybody that grew up with G.I. Joes in the golden age of toys, you understand what I'm talking about. Best playset ever. And to actually see one in front of you, it was an experience. I just loved it. I won't say it was the highlight of the show for me, but it was definitely up there.
Oh, it wasn't the highlight of the show.
No. There were some purchases made later that were kind of the highlight for me. But just seeing that, and again, that was my fourth or fifth time being at that specific show. And that's the first time the G.I. Joe guy has had an aircraft carrier. So that was extra special, too.
This thing was awesome. It didn't have any chips, no markings, no nothing. Like, it was in great shape. But man, seeing the airplanes on it, that thing was just enormous, and it was beautiful. To this day, still holds up as the greatest toy ever made.
No doubt. No doubt about it.
Don't add us.
No.
We know it's not wrestling figures, but we don't care.
Yeah,
well, don't add us.
It's the greatest.
We don't care. Just like, you know what? We're going to talk energy drinks right now.
Oh, awesome.
Turning heel the show. So I finally pried you and Brian out of that place. Special guest. Now, this is the funny part. Special guest Sean and Brian had already done like two laps.
Yes.
Around the building. And Scott and I are now kind of in the back right corner. We still have to kind of wave our way through each row.
Yeah.
And how many rows are there, man? There's
six, seven, maybe.
No, I'm talking about like rows of just going down each row. There's like 15 to 20, isn't there?
Oh, is that many? Okay. Well, we're not even halfway done roaming the place, and Sean and Brian have already lapped it twice. They were looking for more specific things, I guess, and they just kind of peruse real quick and then move on to the next one. What it was equated to is when, and not to be stereotyping here or like being sexist, but like when a husband and wife are getting ready and the husband's done in like a half an hour and he's just sitting there waiting for the wife to finish and the wife takes forever and then the wife comes out and she's like, I'm ready to go. Why don't you have your shoes on? Like, it's the husband's fault, right? One of those type of situations. That's what it was with them going around the toy show with you and I. Because as you mentioned, we're like sloths walking around this place. Like, we're inspecting everything and looking in every booth, checking out all the loose figures. And they're like, oh my gosh, come on. And we get to talking to people, like with the Super 7 guys, with Jordan. And then there were a few more vendors that we talked to. So we're very, very slow moving. All in all, I think we spent like 4 or 5 hours there, Jeff.
I think we were there for about 4 hours, yeah.
Yeah, it was a while. A while.
A while. So we start moving over throughout the booths. And then do you want to go to the one that had the Hogan from last time?
Yeah, so if you guys remember, this was the same toy show that had the $1,000 white shirt LJ and Hogan mint on card that Jeff very begrudgingly left on the shelf. So we saw the guy again, and lo and behold, there's the white shirt Hogan sitting up on the shelf again in the box, same one. But this time, Jeff isn't buying it because he had already gotten the loose white shirt LJ and Hogan that he told you guys about last week. This guy upped his game, though, because this time he brought a mint on card Hasbro Macho Man Series 1 graded in a protective box. A graded Andre the Giant mint on card series 1, a graded mint on card green card crush, and finally a mint on card graded Rick Rude LJN.
So then do you want to go into the prices on those?
You asked him about the Hogan and he's like, yeah, I remember you guys. I misquoted you last time. And you're like, wait, what do you mean? And he's like, well, I told you $1,000 for Hogan. He wants $1,000 for Rude. He wants like $2,000 for the Hogan, which immediately you and I are both thinking, well, shoot, we could have gotten a 50% discount last time. But unfortunately, we didn't get the 50% discount and we did not walk off with the Rick Rude. And when you asked him about the green card, he actually said that he wasn't selling Crush by himself. It was more of a conversation starter. That he actually had the entire green card set in individual protective cases, each graded at 80 or above, and he was selling the entire set for $4,000.
Yeah, out.
Yes, needless to say, we didn't necessarily walk away from that booth empty-handed, but we did not walk away with any of those specific figures. But it was very, very cool, as we talk about seeing toys out in the wild. It was really cool to see a carded Rick Rude, the worst LJN ever created, the carded Rick Rude graded, the mint on card Andre and Macho Man, along with the green card Crush. Just really cool to see those figures out in the wild.
Yeah, that was that sticker shock was ridiculous, dude.
Yeah. Yeah, to say the least.
Yeah, so we greatly walked away from them that time. There was one little thing that was catching my eye. They did have the Hardy Boys Double Slam 4. And everybody knows that I've talked about it on the show. I can't find my Hardy's Double Slam.
And for those that don't know, this is the first Hardy Boys set that ever came out. It was on a green card. The set was called Double Slam, and the Hardys were in their red shirts, black pants. It was released around 2000, and they came with one tag team title belt. And when these things came out, they were so hard to find. This is when Jeff found them at KB Toys and let out the girl scream.
Yes, that fangirl scream.
Yes, that is these Hardy Boys. And Jeff has since misplaced his, and they actually had the Double Slam set there, MOC.
Well, I wouldn't say MOC. There's a little tear in the upper left-hand corner, but to have him on card, again, that it was hitting me in the feels, and I asked him how much he wanted for it, and he goes, 30. And I was like, oh, okay, I still got the rest of, I still got like 15 more rows to go, so I don't know. I don't know what I'm going to find. And then, boy, did I find something. So anyways, walking up and down the aisles, and we come across a booth that has Undertaker Series 8 Hasbro and Crush green card loose. And he has them for a pretty fair price. I checked Wrestling Toy Tracker. Ryan, I'm giving you another shout out. I was checking Wrestling Toy Tracker on this.
Thank you, Ryan.
Oh, by the way, the Undertaker has the cloak, or the coat. I should throw that in there.
Yes, complete.
So I'm looking at this Series 8, and he has them for a pretty good price. And I'm not going to name prices. I'm not going to throw that out there. But I'm just sitting there, and I'm like, man.
The prices were very fair.
Yeah, and I'm like, man, I got to do it. I've got to do it. So I purchased the Undertaker Series 8 and the Crush Loose. They were not well played with. Those things didn't have, they did not have one scuff on them. Not a piece of paint missing. Nothing.
No, it literally looks like they were taken off of the card, out of the bubble, and put into the baggie that they were in.
You can email Jason at nonstopgroover@AOL.com, or you can check out his Facebook, Jason J hyphen Lock Macias, and he has stuff for sale. Hit him up, fair prices, very fair prices actually. So, Jason, thank you for that, man.
And you want to talk about a small world? Jason was at WrestleCon and got Kevin Nash and Scott Hall and X-Pac's signature on the Mount Rushmore painting that you had purchased. Similar, it was an NWO version of it, but you had bought the same one, Jeff, at LodiCon this year, but Jason had the one of the NWO, and he got it signed by those guys at WrestleCon, and he was showing us pictures of the guys signing it, and who's in the background of the pictures but James Frank taking video of X-Pac signing Jason's picture. And we looked at the photo, we're like, dude, we totally know that guy. That's James. He's like, yeah, James asked if he could video record me getting the signatures, and I told him, of course. And so then you take a picture of it and send it off to James, and James is like, I totally remember that guy. So just a small world, really funny. The people you network with in this line of podcasting and videoing and all that, just it becomes a real small world real quick. Everybody kind of knows everybody.
So we move along, and we find another loose LJN table. And this guy has pristine George the Animal Steel and Mr. Fuji. Unfortunately, Mr. Fuji does not have the cane. So we tried talking him down in price. He goes, look, I'm having eye surgery, so I need all the money I can get.
And also, I guess he paid quite a bit to get those figures that you bought too. Like, there wasn't a lot of room for him to haggle. And in addition to needing the eye surgery. So yeah, he had some other ones on the table, but the Steel and the Fuji by far and away were the best looking ones. Not a lot of paint loss on either, if any. So those were definitely good purchases for you.
Fuji has no paint loss. I've looked that thing over numerous times. No paint loss. And Steel has just a nick, like a few couple nicks on the belt line area. But other than that, nothing else. So by the way, let's rewind a little bit. I'm still looking for Madame Leota. I'm looking for this Funko all over the place. Out of all the Funko booths there, nobody had this Madame Leota Haunted Mansion Funko. We even talked to a guy, and he's like, dude, I've been to so many Targets. He did say dude.
Yes, he did. We're in California.
We're in California, so it's mandatory. He goes, I've looked at so many Targets. He goes, I cannot find Madame Leota. And so I'm like determined to find this Funko because it's the one that I'm missing out of the set. And he goes, he even made one comment. He goes, you know what's funny? He goes, is there were a ton of Madame Leotas. Now, they came out with Disney Park exclusive Madame Leotas that were sitting down at Disneyland that nobody wanted. No, they were just sitting down there. But once everybody figured out that nobody could find the Target one, that everybody rushed down to Disneyland and started buying all the Disney Park exclusive Madame Leota. And now they're wiped out down there.
That's crazy.
So we're walking around and I find one last Funko booth. But I was looking at wrestling figures at another booth, but I happened to turn around and I look and I go, I think that's Madame Leota, because I was also getting confused with Ursula. For all the Disney freaks out there, I'm speaking your language right now. But from a distance, it looked like Ursula. I know it doesn't look like, but I just noticed the purple and all that stuff. So I walked over to it. This guy had Madame Leota Disney Park exclusive, $40.
But you didn't know that when you bought it. That was the best part of the transaction, is you just like, I'll take it. You didn't even ask.
I didn't even try to haggle them down. I was just like, I know what you have here and I want it.
I will pay your price, sir.
And he was the only one that had the Madame Leota.
That's the only one at the entire show.
Yeah. And there was how many Funko booths, dude? That one, two, three.
Oh, a lot. A lot of Funkos. Even if it wasn't strictly a Funko booth, they had Funkos.
Right, right. So anyways, I was basically done right there. I was like, I'm done. I want to go eat iguanas and get a supersized burrito.
Yes.
You didn't get anything for yourself there.
Once again, I walked out empty-handed for Scott. I picked up some Littlest Pet Shops for Peyton. What else did I pick up? Oh, I got the Papa figure from Super 7, the glow-in-the-dark version for Shannon. And then once we were all said and done, I still had to get your six-month belated birthday present. So we doubled back over to the booth that had the LJN Hogan and Rick Rude, and you finally got your double slams back.
Yeah, you're all, dude, I still owe you a birthday present. I'm like, okay. And you're like, do you want the Hardys? And I'm like, yeah, I do. I've looked high and low, low and high for those Hardys. I cannot find those Hardys and it's killing me, man. And you were like, do you want those Hardys? I was like, yes, I really, really do. It's funny because I always talk about when you hold an LJN or you hold a Hasbro, the childhood memories come rushing back. I was 20 when these Hardys came out. And when the guy handed the Hardys over to me, I felt 20 again. Finding these figures, it just came flooding back to me and the memories of trying to hunt these. And dude, I love them. I put them up on my wall already. And now I'm already starting to think about getting them signed.
Oh yeah, for sure. For sure. Especially with it being the first Hardy figures that came out and the excitement that surrounded everybody that was looking for them. It just, you're right. Those memories came flooding back and I'm so happy you ended up with them. And the best part about them, they still stand up today, almost 20 years later. Those are still great looking Hardy figures. And it's funny because you showed special guest Sean and his first response was, why does it only come with one tag team title?
I know. Leave it to
him.
Which two
you responded, Chinese New Year.
Yeah. It was, dude. It was Chinese New Year.
Yeah, that's what it was. That's why only one belt. Because Chinese New Year.
It's funny, too, because you look back at those figures, and the mat isn't the best, but then you're like, oh, it's still better than the WrestleMania one that's coming out, so.
You're just swinging left and right at it, dude.
Zing?
Yeah, you are just repeatedly punching that set right in the face. Oh, you're not stopping. You're like Drago, and it's like Rocky. You're not stopping punching it in the face.
I don't care, dude. So anyways, but thank you for getting me those, dude. I'm so happy to have those. Those are already up on the wall. Next time Hardys are doing a signing that I'm able to attend, those are getting signed without a shadow of doubt.
I love it. I love it. And then everybody was kind of hungry. That was pretty much our last purchase. And we finished up walking around the show. There wasn't really anything else to report that we saw. A lot of Mattels. There were definitely a lot of Mattels there. Regarding newer Mattels, they had a Sonya, to which I believe they were asking $35 or $40 for her.
Yes.
There was a Slim Jim Macho Man, and I believe they wanted $80 for him, if I'm not mistaken, Jeff?
They said $70, but they would give it to me for $60. But I've already got a few, and actually, spoiler alert, one will be given away here shortly. So,
oh!
Stay tuned to our Twitter. I was able to snag a couple more off Entertainment Earth. One will be given away here shortly, but that's a spoiler for in a couple weeks.
Can I enter to win?
No.
Sad.
No. That's all a right. Jerk. That's a jerk move.
No, you're right. It is. It is. I don't want to be the heel on the show. We'll leave that to you. To you.
Only to those WrestleManias set.
There it is again.
That's the only time I turned heel.
But it was a great show. We had a blast. Poor Sean and Brian had to endure the tune sloths moving ever so slowly through the show, making sure we didn't miss anything, leaving nothing unturned. Then we went and you and I split the monster 18-inch burrito.
Yes.
Of course, we polished that thing off. It was nothing but wrapping papers left on the tray. Delicious as always. And that was a very, very solid day. It was a great toy show. I can't wait until the, December 7th when the next one comes to town.
I know. And then I've got to head out to Super 7. They're out in San Francisco. They invited us out there.
Yeah, for their once a month event.
I think you and I need to take a trip out there.
Who are we to turn down a party?
I know, right?
Especially Squat. He loves a party.
So that was a fun, fun show. Had a great time. I don't know how much fun Brian and special guest Sean had, but...
As long as they don't have to travel with us next time, I think they'll like it.
I don't think they'll be attending the December show with us.
That's a safe no.
So that rounds out the show. Jordan, thank you again. Freak Frenzy on Instagram. Jason, he put on his note, wrestling figure guy. He goes, you probably know a ton of Jason's. Also, that's actually true.
Yes, that is true.
Jason, thank you again. Hit him up for nonstopgroover@AOL.com. See what he has for sale. Also, I want to thank Smart Cups for getting me through these past couple days. I've been dragging ass lately, so I want to thank Smart Cups for getting me through the past couple days, Scott. Head on over to the website. FullyPosable20 is your code that you want to use to get 20% off your order. Also, want to thank Ryan over at Wrestling Toy Tracker because I was using you at the show this past week, not only for the LJNs that I purchased, but also those two Hasbros that I picked up. So thank you, Ryan, for putting together that wonderful, wonderful website people can find at WrestlingToyTracker.com or Toy_Tracker on Twitter. Scott, we had Michael on from Ego Moss. Why don't you go into it?
We got our Macho Man, Bret Hart, Bayley, and Triple H Ego Moss statues from Michael. And I've got to say, I'm actually looking at the Bayley right now. The Bayley is outstanding. I think my favorite out of those four is probably the Macho Man. I love the pose and the outfit they put him in. The Bret Hart and the Triple H look great as well. But the Macho Man, I think, is my favorite. The Bayley is outstanding. The detail on these statues. And as a matter of fact, Ethan just got his Seth Rollins and absolutely loves it. I love the full color packaging on the box. I love the clear window front so you can see the statue on the back side of the box. They've got a full like magazine or booklet of the featured statue. And it's the whole presentation of it is outstanding. So if you're not familiar with them, go check them out on Twitter at @HeroCollector_. They don't just have wrestling. They have a bunch of other lines as well. They've got Star Trek. They've got Predator, Alien, Batman, Doctor Who. They have a whole bunch of different ones. If you have a favorite property, chances are good they make a statue for it. So definitely go give them a look again on Twitter at @HeroCollector_. But for the WWE line, if you're not subscribed yet, you can subscribe to their service. They send you the statues directly. And when you subscribe, they're going to send you the ring that you can display all the statues in. And it's a beautiful setup. So again, definitely go give them a look on Twitter at @HeroCollector_.
Dude, you know what would be cool? They did this Macho Man, and it's reminiscent of Macho wearing the long coat and satiny shirt that he wore. How cool would it be if they were to do another set of WWE figures, if they made Macho in the purple trunks with that silver cape that he wore?
Oh, that would be so great.
Because I think back to your poster where he's standing on the turnbuckle and he's pointing.
Yes.
And that's still reminiscent. That's still awesome, man. Just that vision.
Dude, if Ego Moss could pull that off on a statue where he's up on the turnbuckle pointing in the trunks, the purple trunks, the yellow boots, and the silver like robe or cape thing, oh, that would be so awesome. Yeah, I'd buy easily two or three of those.
Oh, dude, I know. Michael, you're welcome. Get your designers to work on those.
Please. There's a huge market for those.
There's huge markets for machos, always.
Oh, for sure.
Want to throw it back to our podcast buddies. I want to throw it back to Breaker and Bane. Each week, they go over general news. They also have Funko news. They have wrestling news. Then they have in a local wrestler that Breaker podcasts with. Awesome, awesome show. It's been a staple of mine for over 3 years. And on top of that, two good guys. Breaker, happy birthday this past week, man.
Happy birthday, Breaker.
Check out Breaker and Bane's Power Hour on iTunes. They have other shows. Breaker's doing Back to the Nintendo, which is a fun, fun show to listen to. So check them out. Scott, do you know who Breaker's going to be podcasting with here shortly?
He just did a spot with Rowan. Is it another WWE guy?
Actually, he's going to be on another podcast.
Breaker's going to be doing another podcast?
Well, he's going to be interviewing, or he's going to be interviewed.
Oh, Marty and Sarah?
No, it's going to be Steve from the PPW podcast. And since it's October, they're going to talk about Halloween Havocs.
Oh, very cool. That's right up Breaker's alley, dude.
Yeah, I cannot wait for this podcast to drop over at the PPW podcast. It's going to be so fun to listen to because, like you said, that's Breaker's alley.
Oh, and yeah, for sure.
They're going to be talking about the obscure stuff. They're going to be talking about how horrible stuff was and how great stuff was. I cannot wait for this. I'm like legitimately excited for this to drop. So check out PPW podcast and hopefully soonish, the interview with Breaker will be up. Also check out Eric and Barry each week doing two shows, This Week in Wrestling and Figs and Merch. Check them out at Doing the Favor. Barry's wrestling knowledge will school everyone.
That's true.
Also check out Marty and Sarah Love Wrestling. Each week they welcome in their buddies and it's an improv show where they have buddies come in and sit in and go over the most random stuff. That's absolutely hilarious. Jeff Palmacchio's Not Your Mama's Soap Opera and The Cassatt Show. Check our buddies out over there. Scott, who do you got on roll call this week?
Well, before I get to roll call, I actually owe the listeners an apology because I had put out the new shirt alert. And that was jumping the gun a bit because I wasn't paying attention to our email and Jason Wolf had actually sent over the file for our first of three new designs and I completely missed it. So my first task tomorrow morning, which will be Friday morning, I am sending that file over to What a Maneuver to get the new shirt produced or in the hopper. And depending on how long it takes What a Maneuver to make that shirt go live, it's usually 2 to 3, maybe 4 weeks tops. Hopefully no longer than that, we'll be able to announce that you can go purchase the shirt. Hopefully it's not too much wallet heat for you guys, but I really think you're going to enjoy the new design.
I like what you did there.
Thank you.
Also, we have 8x10s for sale too.
Yeah, we signed a bunch of them last night after the interview with Kevin. And I think that those pictures came out awesome. Jason Wolf just absolutely killed it on all those designs.
Yeah, we've got a few more to sign, so we'll be getting those to you, Scott. We'll be signing some more. The listeners are demanding these. These are awesome.
Yeah, if you're interested, just send us a DM. Let us know what you want. We've got a couple different designs to choose from. Jeff is running a deal right now where you get all four of them for $20. We'll sign all four of them. The designs are awesome. And so to get right into roll call from that, the genius designer behind all of those is the great Jason Wolf. Give him a follow on Twitter at JasonWLF. Again, he's the one who did our newest shirt coming out within the next few weeks. We'll definitely keep you guys posted on that. He's going to be the one doing the two shirts that immediately follow that one. He's the guy that did a majority of our past and current shirts. Amazing artist. He can do it all. Literally, he can do it all. If you need artwork, any type of artwork, give Jason a follow on Twitter at JasonWLF. And Jeff, this week I'm going to throw it out to our figure customizers. First up, Scribble24 on Twitter. That's at SKRIBBEL24. Next up, at Asui, ASSUI88. And last but not least, Kyle Customs 2018. That's on Twitter at Kyle Customs with a K 2018. If you want to see some killer customizations of wrestling figures, go give them a follow. They'll light up your timeline with some of the best customizations you've ever seen on wrestling figures. I highly recommend them. And that rounds out roll call.
Scott, I want to also remind everyone that we have a special show that dropping this Wednesday with Kevin from Masked Republic. He goes over all the figures that are coming out for Boss Fight and Masked Republic. It was a pleasure having him over here. First live interview that did not get deleted, or I shouldn't say deleted, that did not have a memory card malfunction. So that was awesome. That was awesome. And he also goes into his backstory of being in wrestling for 25 years. So that's also another interesting story that you kind of marked out for.
I really did. I don't want to spoil anything for the interview, but if you were a fan of wrestling in the early 2000s to mid 2000s, like on the West Coast side of things, I don't want to spoil too much, but he's got some really interesting stuff that he's going to talk about in his history of getting to Masked Republic that I really think you guys are going to enjoy. So definitely check out that interview with Kevin from Masked Republic on Wednesday. It was a pleasure having him in-house. Our first live interview, like you said, Jeff, that didn't get deleted. We ate burritos. We talked wrestling. We talked wrestling figures. He was blown away by your back room of wrestling figures, in addition to your stuff that was in the front room. So that was cool to kind of show off your collection a little bit. But a great dude and somebody that I'm proud to say is in the wrestling figure game and doing great things. And he wants to take it to that next level. And it's just another great quality guy spearheading another segment of the wrestling figure community. And these are the guys we want in charge. The guys that have the passion, the guys that have the drive, that want to make it better or at least equal to what Mattel is doing. So a big, big fan of what Masked Republic and Boss Fight Studios are doing for sure.
I will spoil one thing. He did say it's a great time to not only be a wrestling fan, but a wrestling figure fan.
That's almost verbatim, folks. He did really say that.
And Scott, like, marked out huge.
Yes, I did. I thanked him.
Because Scott's like, I say that every week.
I really do. And it is, because it's true. There are so many players in the game now. It's an incredible time to be a wrestling figure collector. It's never been better.
Scott's like, Kevin, you're my new brother, and he kicks me out. And he's all, here's your new Hardy's Double Slam 4.
Well, I threw you a burrito after I threw you out.
Thank you.
At least I fed you, yeah.
I needed protein.
You did. So, you were looking a little peakish.
So, Scott, for episode 195, anything else?
Fig Life since 2016. Episode 200 is right around the corner, and happy toy hunting.
It is, it is, and thank you to everyone for listening to episode 195, hashtag Fig Life. Adios.
Yeah. Fully Posable. Let's go. Jeff and Scott, the Tomb Brothers, busting out the ring. But we don't take it out the box, MOC. Happy toy hunting, we'll see you next week. We're the OGs of WFP. Fully Posable, thank you all for listening. It ain't no storyline, real life siblings. So everybody go and do your toy spotting. Hashtag Fig Life, adios from the Kings.